Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game. And the Game Nashville app.
A near perfect race for Denny Hamlin. Entering the playoffs, he was second in the regular season. But one of only three drivers that were winless, and now he's slow on the track to five right up behind him. Smoke coming out from Larson. Larson up against the wall. It's a drag race to the checkered flag. Denny Hamlin's going to win it.
Southern 500 winner, Denny Hamlin.
And yes, that is how it sounded on NBC. The end of the Cookout Southern 500 at the Darlington Raceway. How you doing? Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome in to Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is all presented by Hillside Medical. I am Chase McCabe. We're here every Saturday at 9 o'clock talking racing. And the NASCAR playoffs are now officially underway after one race, and it is Denny Hamlin getting his first win of the year. And as you recall, I've basically been saying this every week, as consistent as he's been, watch out. Denny Hamlin is going to find victory lane sooner rather than later. Well, he decided to wait till the playoffs, but you know what? Better late than never, because that advances him to the round of 12. And with all the points that he has accumulated this year, the playoff points, the stage wins that he has had, that certainly helps him as he continues his quest for his very first championship. His teammate Christopher Bell is going to join us later on in the show, so looking forward to talking to him. But it was a wild, race. I thought it was a good race. You had a lot of the playoff drivers having trouble. I mean, if you go and you look through the full field rundown, Chase Elliott had a bad night. William Byron had a bad night. Kyle Busch, who we'll get to, had a bad night. Michael McDowell had a bad night, finished in the 37th position on the evening. Some other playoff drivers, Alex Bowman was 26th, which was not a good night for him. Ryan Blaney, 22nd, coming in with so much momentum. The aforementioned Christopher Bell was 20th, but you start moving up the leaderboard. Tyler Reddick with a solid run in 18th. You have in the top 10, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., all playoff drivers. Kyle Larson in second. Nice run by Ross Chastain with the third place finish. And then Denny Hamlin getting his first win of the year. Larson sent it. He went after it. He said he tried to video game it. You'll hear from him in just a second, but ultimately, it was Denny Hamlin getting the win, and he caught up with NBC's Marty Snyder after the race.
Southern 500, it's a big one. Man, I love this racetrack. It's by far my favorite racetrack, but wow, it's just great. Can't thank the Offer Pad guys enough for everything they do, and you know, FedEx, and man, Shady Rays, the Jordan brand, just everyone, Toyota, just Coca-Cola, everyone who's at JGR that builds these fast cars.
Walk me through that last lap. Kyle Larson said, I tried to video game it. He almost got you, didn't he?
Yeah, he drove it in past the limit of the cars and the tire, but I knew he was coming. I was a little bit conservative that last lap because I knew I had about a four-car length lead. And I didn't think it was going to go that deep, but still a great race. And it's been back and forth with me and him most of the year. And he's just been a little bit faster on these types of racetracks. And luckily the caution came when it did, and the strategy worked out great for the team. But, man, I'm really happy tonight.
I thought it was good for Denny Hamlin and his team for him to have the run that he did to build a little momentum, to build some confidence, which, there was a time where I thought maybe Denny's confidence was getting rocked a little bit because he was so frustrated that he hadn't won yet. But ultimately, I think that, you know, he just kept after it and kept running consistently. And then they ended up in this position to lead a lot of laps and to win this race. I mean, led 146 laps on the night. Kyle Larson actually led 156, so he led the most laps He had a good car too, as we saw, but Denny Hamlin ran his type of race and ultimately got the win. He did meet with the media afterwards and discuss his season and, you know, missing out on some wins, but finally getting it now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had so many opportunities earlier this year to win races, and we only really had the fastest car twice, and we understood that. But you know, the five just went on a tear there. And for us, I mean, it certainly is significant. I'm not going to downplay the significance of it. It's not just another win. This one's big for us and our team and the momentum. We didn't have the playoff points that certainly we wish we had going into these playoffs. You know, there was no room for error. And now to punch our ticket to the next round, we get to go out there and focus on, you know, get through that second round, which I think is probably the most dangerous.
And those opportunities that he had, the second place finishes, the third place finishes, just being in the top five, leading laps, getting playoff points. I mean, that's the reason why, even though they didn't get a win and they came in seventh in points into the playoffs, that's why they're in the position that they're in, because of consistency. Now, and he did say that, you know, not much was really going to change now that they've won a race, but at least for the next two, he can take a few more chances maybe than he would. And look, he's good in the next handful of races. I mean, that's, he knows how to get around these places, whether it's Richmond or Bristol or what have you. He does well there. So realistically, you know, he could win the next two. He could go three in a row and really be in the catbird seat for this championship. That's the way that this format is set up, and I think they know that. It's the long game. And so he's put himself in this position with consistency, and now they're in a position, now that they've broken through, where they can, you know, go after it and get more wins. So I think the battle between Hamlin and Larson is going to be fantastic down the stretch. They were battling it out for the regular season title. Larson won the regular season title. And no offense, I'm glad they finally made something like that. But at the end of the day, nobody gives a crap about the regular season championship. It's all about the big one at the end. I think Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson are going to definitely be the two battling out. But as we've seen, the two best or the three best, we remember the big three and me, doesn't always work out that way. It just depends on who's in the final four and what will happen at Phoenix. Speaking of Kyle Larson, he said on the radio, "I tried to video game it." I've seen the memes of he sent it. He used it all up. Checkers or wreckers. He caught up with Parker Kligerman of NBC and discussed the move.
We got to the white and I was like, well, I haven't been able to gain on now. I'm going to try something. I honestly got to his bumper too quick. I was hoping he was going to run that diamond to kind of be safe and I could squirt to his outside, but gave it everything I had. I didn't want to wreck him. I just, you know, wanted to try and get to his outside there, but he did a great job, not really making any mistakes there that last run, and I was having to push really hard in second to try and just stay with him and was hoping we could catch some sort of traffic, but we never really did. But my HendrickCars.com Chevy was really good out front. Just in traffic, I would get stuck. Like, not traffic, I just got stuck really bad, and then there at the end, losing control of the race really hurt us. But all in all, a great day, good points day. Picker did great. Cliff made some good changes in the car, so try again next week.
We know it's been a great year for you, but what's it mean really to start off the playoffs this way? You led the most laps here, you're right in contention at the end. What's it mean for this team going through this playoffs to make a championship run and have a great start?
Yeah, I know it's good to get a good start. I think, you know, everybody's, you know, nervous getting ready for the final 10 and just the anticipation of how it's going to go. So good to get a good first weekend and, you know, build some momentum and some confidence within the team. So hopefully go to Richmond and be a little bit better than we were there early in the year.
I don't think Kyle Larson has to worry about confidence with that team after the season that they have had. You know, I mentioned anything can happen in the playoffs. That is certainly well known. But I think that is a strong enough team, that is a strong enough organization, that you don't have to worry about their confidence level right now, because I believe that they certainly have it with these playoffs. And like I said, I think the battle between Hamlin and Larson specifically is going to be a good one. But what other drivers do I think are going to factor into this thing? Well, I'll I'll give you one that had a good run at Darlington, led some laps, led 20 laps on the night. It's Kevin Harvick. He didn't want to race this year either, but could this be that opportunity that he was looking for to get hot at the right time, to get a little confidence, get a little momentum at the right time, and be a factor? I think Martin Truex Jr. is another one that had kind of fallen off there for a little bit, and he finds himself in the mix. I mean, you look at the standings right now as they go into Richmond later on tonight. Remember, it is a doubleheader. They will run the Xfinity race coming up in a little bit, and then tonight is the Cup Series race. But right now, it's Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Truex Jr. is in third, Kurt Busch fourth, Ryan Blaney holds on to fifth, then Joey Logano, then Kevin Harvick, then Brad Keselowski, Christopher Bell, Chase Elliott, Eric Almirola, Tyler Reddick. That is the top 12 as we sit today after one playoff race. The four drivers on the outside looking in, Alex Bowman, Kyle Busch, William Byron, Michael McDowell. So some work to do for those drivers. Speaking of Kyle Busch, you have heard me say, and we had him on, and I thought it was a fantastic interview when he was on a few months ago, talking about, you know, his career, his son, coming back to Nashville, all those things. But we all know that Kyle Busch, he's got a temper. He doesn't like to lose. He's very emotional. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. And when he doesn't do well or the team doesn't do well, he lets you know about it. And I've said that personality in the sport is a good thing. I like that about Kyle Busch. I don't always agree with Kyle Busch. I think there are times where you want to be like, Kyle, you're kind of being a little whiny. You need to dial it back. But he is who he is, and he owns it. With that said, what he did Sunday night at Darlington was inexcusable. You got to think. I get being in the heat of the moment. I get being upset. I get doing a post-race interview, which you'll hear in just a second, with Marty Snyder and calling your team out and being mad at them. I'm fine with all of that. The problem is when you put the safety of others at risk. And I understand. I've been in the garage area. I've been in the garage area several times. You have to keep your head on a swivel. You have to look out for cars coming in because you are in their workspace. And, you know, there's not necessarily a posted speed limit within the garage. You don't know exactly how fast Kyle was going as he entered the pit in it, or entered the garage. But you got to use some common sense. And he went in through a closed area. The cones were up. He ran over the cones. He almost ran over people. And NASCAR came down on him for that. And they should have. They fined him $50,000 for a safety violation, actions detrimental to stock car racing, and violating the NASCAR member conduct guidelines. So that was after he was out of the race. He had spun and made significant contact with the outside wall. Senior Vice President of Competition for NASCAR, Scott Miller, addressed Kyle Busch's behavior on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Situations of safety very seriously, and there is some internal discussions going on as we speak, honestly, on that very topic. So we haven't exactly landed on and gotten everyone together that needs to get in the mix as of yet on that. But it was a situation that could have been bad. Fortunately, you know, nobody got hit or anything like that. And, you know, it all worked out. But putting people in harm's way for no reason is something that we take very seriously. So we're taking a hard look at it.
If NASCAR was to go down the road of saying, hey, maybe we need to do something here, is a points penalty something that you would look at, or is it maybe a different avenue to kind of correct the behavior?
No, looking back on in our history of what we've done, that's always been kind of a behavioral thing, and there hasn't really ever been points associated with those. I wouldn't look for us to react with a points penalty or anything like that.
There you go. Scott Miller with Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. He is the Vice President of Competition for NASCAR, and this was before they handed it out. This is what they were discussing. But, you know, it does make you wonder, one, are they going to look at some of the safety protocols in the garage and maybe tweak and change a few things? You know, I certainly think that that's something that, you know, NASCAR does, but, you know, it's the only sport that really gives fans the type of access that it does. I mean, I've been to several races where you walk through the garage and you're with the fans. I've been as a fan doing that just with a hot pass, and you can walk pit road. And so it's safe, but you obviously have to pay attention because these are cars that are running around. And so you got to watch out. But, you know, as for the driver, you know, I do think it's interesting that, you know, they haven't in the past, they have not docked points for things like that. It's more of a monetary thing. This was $50,000. But you do wonder if they look at that down the road. But it also sets precedents, and that's what you have to be careful with. But as for Kyle Busch, I mean, again, I understand being outspoken. I understand being upset. As you can hear in the post-race interview in just a second, but you got to know where the line is. But this was Kyle after he got wrecked out of the race and talked to Marty Snyder with NBC.
Hey, the contact with the three, what's your take on that?
It wasn't the three's fault, so just take our lumps. You know, we're running like and we got wrecked, so it's what you get when you run like and it just shouldn't be there. I don't know what our problem is, but every time we go to sim and use sim and think we have a good sim session, we go to the racetrack and we suck. So I'm done with that. And we'll have to use some other tools on figuring out how to be good. But the M&M's Camry was not very good, and we're running terrible, and we got wrecked. Wasn't the three's fault.
I know the frustration is there, Kyle, but do you allow yourself to think about the next two racetracks where you're so good?
Who cares? Get what we get.
All right, Kyle Busch does have 14 wins at the next two racetracks, but clearly very frustrated, saying not Austin Dillon's fault. It was the fault of the race team. Car was not good enough tonight.
And as Marty asked him, I mean, the thing is, he's got some good tracks coming up too. I think Kyle Busch could very much be a part of this championship. But the problem sometimes in what, you know, in the thing that I've said where I appreciate him being outspoken, I appreciate the personality, he can get in his own way. And, you know, he called his team out. Now, did his team deserve to be called out? Probably so. But you got to understand that how are they going to take that? And I'll say this too. I've picked up on a few things this year especially that, you know, you have to decipher. Is it Kyle being Kyle, or is he trying to send a message when it comes to his team? You know, this incident where saying the car wasn't set up right. He's giving him the data using the sim. He won't do that anymore because it's not working. You know, he's made comments in the past of, you know, everybody else not having practice and qualifying. They can figure it out, but we can't. I recall at Atlanta, he was asked about running SRX, and he was told that he was basically told he couldn't. And when pressed on it and asked, is it Joe Gibbs? Is it, you know, what is it? He just said yes. So, you know, you kind of wonder what's up there. Again, you can file that under Kyle being Kyle, but you can certainly tell there is frustration with the way things are going, the way the season is going. Even though he's very much in these playoffs, it can all change tonight at Richmond. But going into the garage at that rate of speed, running through the cones, almost hitting people, that's inexcusable, and kudos to NASCAR for coming down on him with that $50,000 fine. You got to know where the line is, and he crossed it, in my opinion, at Darlington. When we come back, we're going to talk to Christopher Bell, the driver of the number 20, Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. He got his first cup win earlier in the year at the Daytona Road Course, so we will chat with him. We'll also talk about the anniversary that is today, 9/11, and 20 years ago, and what it meant for NASCAR. And, of course, all of us as we reflect on the tragedy that occurred that day. You're listening to Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, the game presented by Hillside Medical. And I told you we were going to talk to one of the most talented young drivers in the NASCAR Cup Series garage right now. Christopher Bell is with us, the driver of the number 20 DeWalt Toyota Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing. Christopher, good to talk to you. How you doing?
Chase, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am fantastic. I know that Darlington, let's be honest, if you were in the playoffs, it wasn't really a good weekend for just about anybody, but it was a lot of craziness going on at Darlington. But what were some things that you learned in your first playoff race that maybe you can take the rest of the way?
Yeah, it was very interesting, to say the least. It was very cool to see all the drama that unfolded in the playoff opener. So fortunately for me and my 20 group, it was a okay day. It could have been a lot better, but definitely could have been a lot worse, like some of the others. So I feel like we brought a really, really fast Ream Camry to the racetrack last week, and we were able to compete and show speed and run inside the top five, and that was really, really good and really important. But unfortunately we were not able to get the finish that, you know, we were expecting to get. We had a little bit of a mishap on pit road that cost us some track position, but it was nice to have a good showing for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, you know, having a good showing, having the speed, I mean, for a young driver like yourself, that you've done a lot of winning on your way up to the Cup Series. You won your first Cup Series race this year. That still has to help with confidence, though.
Yeah, and I mean, that was a big moment. That was able to lock us into the playoffs early on in the year, which in return allowed us to build our notebook and be really thorough about it. In some weeks that we didn't have the greatest race cars, and we were all learning each other, myself and my crew chief Adam Stevens and the whole 20 group. So it's been fun to see the progress that we've made, and I feel like we've gotten to the point to where we have all the tools we need to be competitive week in, week out, and we just have to make sure we utilize them.
And you mentioned your crew chief, Adam Stevens. I mean, this guy knows how to win. A lot of successful years with Kyle there at JGR. But chemistry is everything. And for you guys to win as quickly as you did had to help that. But how has that relationship been between you two?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really good. And, you know, I think the results haven't really been what me or him were hoping for. And I think if you ask him, he would have expected us to probably have a little bit better results throughout the course of the year. But, you know, it's just been a learning process, and things haven't come easy, that's for sure. Ever since Daytona Road Course, we've had kind of a up and down year, and I feel like we're really on the upswing right now, and my race cars have been really fast for the last several weeks. So I expect this week at Richmond to be a great race for us, and then, you know, looking throughout the playoffs, I mean, we have good racetracks littered all the way through there.
What has been the biggest difference of actually being, even though with Levine Family Racing last year, it was a, you know, Joe Gibbs kind of satellite team prepared car, but now you're actually in the JGR 20. Have you noticed a big difference in that, or has it pretty much been the same?
Yeah, I mean, just being a part of the JGR group has definitely been different. And last year was my first time kind of being at a single car team throughout my NASCAR career. So that was definitely different. And I'm very thankful to be back at Joe Gibbs Racing driving the number 20.
You have a great opportunity of being teammates with a two-time champion in Kyle Busch, a champion in Martin Truex Jr., a guy that I still can't believe hasn't won a championship yet in Denny Hamlin, but a multi-race winner. What are some things that you take away from being around those guys?
Yeah, I mean, they're really smart race car drivers, and they're very experienced. They've been around a while, so it's just pretty incredible to be able to have the resources that I do on this team and you know, be part of a powerhouse team. So hopefully I can become a mainstay for years to come.
So I always like asking drivers this because, you know, Nashville is my hometown where I've grown up. The Cup Series returned this year for the first time since 1984 out at the Nashville Super Speedway. And to see that sellout crowd, to see people embrace it, and then, you know, SRX at the fairgrounds and the Grand Prix. I mean, this city lives and breathes racing. What was it like for you to see the series return to Nashville?
Yeah, that was awesome. And for it to be such a big success too. I mean, the race, I feel like the racetrack put on a really great race. It was a ton of fun from a driver's standpoint, and I hope the fans enjoyed it. You know, the turnout was amazing, and I hope that next year going back, it's just as big of an event.
So I need to go off the beaten path for a minute because you are from Norman, Oklahoma, and there is a well-known college football team or a university, I should say, that resides there. So I would assume that you grew up a Sooners fan. What do you think about them joining the SEC?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely crazy. You know, I can't believe that, you know, the change. They always were the Big 12 whenever I was growing up, and it definitely caught me by surprise.
I don't want to harp on, you know, the Larson stuff from a few weeks ago, but where I do want to go with this is, as a young driver trying to establish himself in the Cup Series and earn that respect, and respect is earned, you know, how important is it for you to, you know, let it be known, hey, just because I'm a young driver second year in, you're not going to push me around. I expect that respect that I have earned on the track. How important is it for you to do that?
Yeah, I mean, me and Larson have a well-established history that goes back many years, you know, through the dirt ranks. So, you know, the respect deal is definitely part of it, but it goes way, way deeper than, you know, just that one race.
I gotcha. So with Richmond this weekend, as you mentioned, how important it is to getting into the round of 12, what are you expecting?
Yeah, I'm expecting, especially for our 20 group, to have a great showing. But, you know, I think the field right now is extremely tight. And if you look at the points from Darlington, you had some guys that had bad races that made the points even tighter. So I think it's going to be an epic round of the playoffs for sure. And I think right now, if you look at it, you got some guys that are beneath the cut line that you probably wouldn't have expected to be there. And they're probably going to be moving their way up. And then that leaves some guys on the, you know, that are inside right now. They're going to be looking at the outside the cut line. So it's going to be an epic round for sure.
Leave me with this. I know Denny was a part of the test at Daytona with the next gen car as they try and roll that thing out. What are some reports you've gotten from that? And what are your thoughts on the next gen car as it gets ready to run at Daytona next year?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. You know, it's so completely different than anything that we've driven in the past years. So it's going to be interesting to see who can hit the ground running and who can bring the best race cars to the racetrack with, you know, no testing. And, you know, I think each team is going to get a little bit of track time, but not very much compared to years past. And yeah, it's going to be a change of pace for sure. You know, I haven't heard anything about the Daytona test, but I'll be looking to get some notes on it.
Absolutely. Well, Christopher, it's good to talk to you. Best of luck this weekend at Richmond and the rest of the way in the playoffs.
Thank you.
Christopher Bell, driver of the number 20 DeWalt Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing. Appreciate him taking the time to join us this morning here on the show. Ninth in the standings right now. So he currently finds himself in the round of 12, but as we know with the playoffs, that can all change very quickly. And, you know, with everything that happened last week, as we talked about in the first segment at Darlington in the first race, you know, you had a lot of the playoff players having trouble. So things are bunched up quite a bit right now as they go in to tonight's race at Richmond. When we come back, we will reflect on 20 years ago today and what it meant for the racing community. I'll share some stories as well as we remember 9/11. We'll do that next on Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Hillside Medical. I'm Chase McCabe, and glad you could be with us here today. Appreciate Christopher Bell for joining us on the other side. Again, a bright young driver. If you miss any of the interviews, Just search Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. You can go to thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com. Before we get more into Richmond tonight, which is obviously race number 2 in the Cup Series playoffs, also the Xfinity race this afternoon, Dale Earnhardt Jr. making his return, I did want to take some time to reflect on what today is. And I've put a lot of thought into this because it's been 20 years since the terrorist attacks of September the 11th, 2001. And, you know, it's when things like that happen, You know, like right now, even though it's very different, the pandemic that we're in the now. And so everything is fresh. And even a couple of years after this all passes, it's still going to be fresh. But then it's like the longer it goes, you don't forget about it, but it's different. And, you know, I look at the where we are now and 20 years ago, you know, watching all the documentaries and seeing all the retrospective pieces, just how unified this country became after that. And it held like that for a long time. And then slowly it just, you know, things returned to normal. That's what it was. They returned to a new normal. You know, I remember now when I go fly, you know, security is very tight. It's a very different type of process. You know, there's random selections and things are much more thorough than they used to be. That's the new normal. It's just like whatever this new normal we're becoming accustomed to within the pandemic. It just, that's how things change. But what happened that day is something that we never need to forget. And I don't think we will, but you know, it's one of those reminders of just, you know, how cruel the world really can be sometimes. And our innocence, you know, I've heard that phrase, our innocence was lost that day. And it really did in a moment. When that first plane hit the first tower, things changed. I was an eighth grader at Franklin Road Academy. An eighth grader. I was 14 years old. And there were a lot of things that, you know, I didn't think about, didn't know about, didn't need to know about. I was 14 years old. I had to grow up a lot more that day. Just because I was at that age where it was, you know, I knew what was, you know, I knew this was bad. And there were a lot of things that I learned over the course of the next few months, you know, about terrorism and, you know, hearing Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, you know, what they were and what they do. And I'm not going to go down a political road and all those things. That's not what I'm trying to do. But, you know, I do think that honoring those victims, nearly 3,000 between the World Trade Centers, the Pentagon, Flight 93, you know, that continues to be a very important thing. You know, and I always remember, well, I don't remember because I wasn't born, but President Roosevelt saying a day that will live in infamy, talking about Pearl Harbor. September the 11th is no different. You know, I remember these words from President George W. Bush.
Today, we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
You know, and I remember everything else that transpired that day and the days after that day. And I'll get to the racing part, you know, in a second, but it was weird. It was very weird to walk outside and not hear airplanes. It was weird to, I had a dentist appointment that day. I did that. And then it was, you know, my mom said, all right, we're going home. We're not doing anything else. Actually, I went to my dad's that day. You know, it was weird not to watch baseball, as typically was the case in September, on a Tuesday. There was nothing. It was all news. And that's what my dad, you know, was watching. Both my parents were watching. And like I said, I grew up a lot that day. The eighth grade trip that we always had was to New York. And in fact, in the eighth grade hallway, lined up on the lockers, were pictures of all the eighth grade classes standing on top of the World Trade Center on the observation deck. And my eighth grade class was the first one that didn't get to do that. We elected as a class, and the parents, of course, agreed, and we went to New York. And we went to Ground Zero, and it was one of the most emotional experiences that I've ever been a part of, but one that I will always remember that, you know, I can, if I'm ever lucky enough to have kids, can tell them about. And I know a lot of people have had those moments, and unfortunately I haven't been to the memorial since then, but it's something I definitely want to do. But I remember through all of that, you know, looking, like most people, looking for an escape, and sports did the right thing. They said, hey, we're gonna take a break. The NFL didn't play. College football didn't play. Baseball didn't, you know, wasn't playing. NASCAR didn't race. They said, we're going to take the week off. The only entity was WWE. They had their show on Thursday that was live in Houston. And, you know, as a wrestling fan, I appreciated that. But it was, you know, it was one of those things that I didn't understand it as a 14-year-old, but now, you know, I understand the decisions that these leagues made, including NASCAR. Mike Helton was the president at the time of NASCAR, and, you know, made that tough decision. But NASCAR released some audio this week of different people that recalled that entire time. And, you know, one of the drivers was Kevin Harvick. He was in his rookie year at Richard Childress Racing. He had had the unthinkable task of having to replace Dale Earnhardt after his death in the Daytona 500 earlier that year. But he was also driving a full Busch Series schedule, and he recalled where he was the morning of September 11th, 2001.
September 11th, 2001, I was actually flying an airplane to Memphis, Tennessee to test at the racetrack there. So myself and my Busch Series team were on the plane, and we landed, and obviously everything had happened. So, you know, that was, we actually drove 12 hours home, because I don't think at that particular point anybody really knew where the world was going to go from there. So we were all kind of freaked out and wanted to be with our families, and we never actually did the test. We flew there in Mike Skinner's airplane, got in our rental cars, and drove home 12 hours.
And what he said there, I think, was the big thing that, you know, a lot of these, again, this goes back to the athletes, and, you know, in whatever sport, are real people too. They wanted to be with their families, just like everybody else. I mean, you just wanted to hug somebody. But when they returned to Dover, that I vividly remember, because it was the coolest scene to see all those people with their American flags, see the drivers lined up on pit road. Lee Greenwood was there to sing God Bless the USA. And it was like you knew that it was there, still happened. Not all was right, but there was this thing that was able to help us through. And for me, it was racing. And I remember watching that race. Dale Jr. wins, which, I mean, with everything that had happened that year, just how perfect was that? And it just felt like, hey, for a few hours, we're gonna escape and watch some of the best drivers in the world. Then president, now vice chairman of NASCAR, Mike Helton, again, NASCAR provided this audio, reflected on returning to Dover.
When the decision was made that we could go back and felt like we were comfortable going back to Dover, there was a lot of conversation and dialogue and effort that had to go into being sure that we did it as safely as possible. And it came with some uniqueness to it, because we'd never had anything like this happen to us. And to pull a gathering together like that, you know, fairly quickly after that happened, I think all sports and entertainment were kind of concerned about putting a big group together as a target or something. And, but the everybody kind of got through the heartbreaking impact of Tuesday 9/11, and then our decision not to go to New Hampshire we made, and then the decision was, okay, if you're not going to do New Hampshire, when do you go back? And it took us 2 or 3 days after the Tuesday to have a level of confidence, and that level of confidence came from the industry itself inside our companies or inside of our garages and race teams. And it came from the federal government helping and saying, we believe you can do that, and here's what we will do, and the resources that they put in. And Dennis McGlynn and his staff just absolutely, just putting all the parts and pieces together in a way that made that weekend so very special. And a lot of those protocols, and then particularly the relationship now at events with the federal government and the resources that they have, we still use those today, 20 years later. To the fans that once we said we were going to go to Dover, a lot of our fans held up their hand and said, we're going to go with you. And so there was a large crowd there, and them having the American flags to hand out, and then we collectively putting together the pre-race ceremony that had Cal Ripken was there anyway. The race was named after him, and he's such a highly respected athlete in everybody's world, including ours. Lee Greenwood doing God Bless the USA, and Tanya Tucker doing the national anthem, and the crowd engaging themselves in all of that, the level that they did that day. I think just when you talk about Dover and in September 2001, I always first and foremost think about the energy level that our fans brought back to us that day to give us a really good feeling about being NASCAR and very proud of the NASCAR fan and their spirit. And then all the teams kicking in to do the things they did, the paint schemes, the tributes, the all the things that our organizations in the garage areas do organically. You don't have to ask them or suggest it. They come up with all that stuff, and all that just goes into all the parts and pieces that make all NASCAR events special, but that one was the first most special one.
And it truly was special. And again, it is something that, you know, we'll never forget. We never should forget. And you know, I just wanted to take some time today on the show. You know, we try and keep it lighthearted and have fun, but you know, there are times where you need to reflect. And so I wanted to take a little time to do that and to share those thoughts, because 20 years ago today, 20 years ago right now, our country was hurting, and you know, we still are 20 years later after those events. We will step away. We will come back. We'll get you set for Racing from Richmond tonight as you listen to Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe hanging out with you. We're here every Saturday morning at 9 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Richmond coming up today. It's a doubleheader, the Xfinity race, and then the Cup Series race will be later on tonight. Some news and notes from the week that I wanted to get to real quick. Kurt Busch is going to be without four of his pit crew members due to COVID protocols tonight at Richmond. So that's something to watch out for a playoff driver. And earlier this week at Daytona, they had a next-gen car test, which was the first time really you got to see pack racing with those new cars. It was pretty cool. Denny Hamlin was one of the participants coming off his win at Darlington, and he was asked about the heat, because the way the car is designed with the exhaust, it's under the driver, it gets very hot in the car, and that is a concern.
I'm not sure. I mean, it is a concern. It's a big concern. Obviously, It's difficult because, you know, it's the way the car designed, the design of it, having where the exhaust is all boxed in, running right underneath the, the seat right there. It's just, it's hot. It's 450 degrees down in that box. So it's super hot. And then you got the exhaust, all the hot radiator flowing right into the side, into the car from the hood. So I don't really know. I think they're going to have to really make some big changes to it to make some change, something that will allow us to finish races without, having major issues. But, I think they made some gains with some stuff that they did with Austin Dillon later in the day, hopefully.
Certainly something they're going to want to figure out because we know at some of these places that they go, it gets pretty hot. So certainly want to have that comfort, for the drivers and safety too. It obviously gets too hot. That is going to be a problem. But good to see them get that test in at Daytona as we inch closer and closer to the new car. I mentioned that with it being a doubleheader, we're going to have the Xfinity Series race at Richmond coming up a little bit later on today. And that is going to include a familiar face. Dale Earnhardt Jr. will make his return to the Xfinity Series as he will run the number 8, which he did 20 years ago when he won at Dover after they returned from 9/11. But he's running a tribute scheme, going to start 30th in this one. But he met with the media and he was asked, if you ever daydream about what would happen if he won.
I don't really daydream too much about the result. We'll just see, how it all shakes out. But I hope I get to run all the laps and I hope I get to have fun. And I hope I'm reminded why I love it. And then also why I don't do it anymore. I tell you the last couple of times I've ran these races, I'm excited and I get in the car and I'm like, man, this is so good. Wow. All the emotions and the senses and everything's just coming back to you and just feels right. You feel like you know what you're doing and you and the car are in tune. And then about halfway through the race, you kind of get to a point where you're like, all right, I'm good. We can stop. it's kind of like halfway through the roller coaster ride. You're like, all right, that was fun. I'm good. I can get off now. But, it's hopefully it just goes well and looking forward to it. And
Dale Jr. is +900 to win today in the Xfinity Series race at Richmond. And so speaking of that, when I throw out odds, that leads us into Sunday money for tonight's Cup Series race, the Federated Auto Parts 400 Salute to First Responders. Martin Truex Jr. is the favorite at +400. Denny Hamlin just behind him, though, at +550. I do like Hamlin to potentially get to victory lane in back-to-back races. Some other notables, Kyle Busch +600. Larson is +700. Logano +800. Chase Elliott at +1,000. I want you to pay attention to him. I think that would be a good value bet as he tries to work his way back in to playoff consideration because he obviously is going to need it. Kurt Busch +3,300. That's a good long shot if you want to play that game as well. And I like Kevin Harvick at +1,200 as well. Those odds from BetMGM. So there you go. A little Sunday money to close it out. I took a little more time than anticipated talking 9/11, but I'm not going to apologize for that. I think that was much needed. But that is going to do it for today's edition of Chasing Checkers. We'll be back next Saturday at 9 to talk about playoff races, wrap number 2 up, and set up number 3. It is a cutoff race before the round of 12, and it's at one of my favorites, the Bristol Motor Speedway. We'll do that next Saturday. Right here on ESPN 1025 The Game, The Game Nashville app.